You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, Doge keeps slashing away, even though we may be hearing a little bit less from Elon Musk. Are you worried about your Social Security check? I'm concerned for those in my family that are getting those checks. Will they continue? What does Trump and the Doge posse have in store? Well, we've got someone who can dispel all of the lies and help you understand exactly what's going on and what is at stake for you and your family. It is former Maryland governor and, more importantly for this discussion, former Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley. He's joining us today because he's in Racine. Welcome to the show, Commissioner and former governor of Maryland, Mr. O'Malley. We appreciate you making time. What brings you to Racine today?
Well, I'm going to Racine today for a town hall at 6 o'clock at the Dr. John Bryant Center. And I've found myself, Maggie, since leaving the post of Commissioner of Social Security, to still be talking about Social Security because of the speed with which they've taken, you know, you use the metaphor, a meat cleaver, a chainsaw, to this agency, which I already knew probably better than most people, was already very vulnerable because they've been operating at a 50-year low in staffing, even though baby boomers of my generation swell their ranks every day to a new all-time high. So this is a town hall tonight, and we're going to hold up some of the big lies that Elon Musk is telling as he tries to undermine public trust in a system that 73 million people depend upon.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary. To me, Governor, when I look at what Elon Musk, our billionaire overlord, is doing with the permission and negligence, I could say, of our current president, what I see is the dismantling of the system, right, of the personnel, of the offices being shuttered, so that it will become so hard for people to navigate the system and get the benefits that they have earned. These are earned benefits. Is that part of what you're seeing as one of the threats to Social Security at this moment?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when I was commissioner, I spent a lot of time in Social Security offices, and I would always go through the front door and I'd listen to people. What is it that you're here to do? What business? I'd be able to, you know, point to my picture on the wall and say, I'm the other guy with the blue tie right below the president. And people would tell me what they were there for. And, you know, very immediately I had to put up a finger and bring in a staff person to help me sort out a complex problem. In one sense, Social Security is kind of simple in concept. That is to say, it is a pay-as-you-go program. And people working pay in, and beneficiaries, once they're of the right age or they have a disability, they get paid out by those same dollars. But patterning it and making sure you get the right amount to the right person at the right time within a web of regulations built up over time and the parameters of the law is not an easy thing. So when Elon Musk and the Doge young men, mostly, that I haven't heard a woman's name at Social Security. When Elon Musk and those young men go through and they reduce staffing there by 7,000 people, Maggie, keep in mind, already at a 50-year low at 56,000, beneficiaries climbing to an all-time high, they have either through massive firings of whole offices or by paying people to leave, by setting a deadline when you can avail yourself of the cash money to leave right now, no knowledge transfer, and or by what they call restructuring. You know, they have reduced to 50%, by 50%, that cut in half the IT department at Social Security. And I've got to tell you, it is all staffing and all IT systems. That's how they operate and have served the American public when they did until Congress started reducing their staffing, their overhead was only 1.2%. And yet, you know, that's been something now that Elon Musk has decided to decry as totally wasteful and inefficient. And when if you compare it to a private insurance company, that 1.2% compared to Allstate, Allstate's at 19% overhead to benefits paid. Liberty Mutual, Liberty Biberty, 23%
overhead to benefits. But we've got former Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley, former Maryland governor, with us this afternoon. He's in Racine today talking to people about Social Security at an event hosted by Fair Share America. I wanted to zero in both on the efficiency question and on some of the other, what I'm going to call most generously misstatements. I'll call them outright lies about Social Security.
Big lies.
Big lies that scare the crap out of people and frankly have created a bogus permission structure to dismantle this program that 73 million Americans rely on. Let's take up one of those big lies right now. Here's Elon Musk very recently on Joe Rogan. Cal, this is Cut 14.
Like you could run a real pyramid scheme.
I mean, the government's one big pyramid scheme, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, you can tell me better than anybody.
Social Security is the biggest Ponzi scheme of all time.
Hmm.
Commissioner, let's provide some truth to people.
Yeah, so here's the truth. There is no Ponzi scheme that has ever lasted 90 years. Usually they collapse in a few months. So yes. Social Security has never missed a payment, a monthly payment in 90 years, including, oh, by the way, all through COVID. Could you imagine that cascading effect if even with the evacuation from office workplaces, those checks had stopped coming out? So Social Security, Maggie, is a pay-as-you-go program. It's not a savings alone where we have individual savings account for people. It is a pay-as-you-go program that operates on a 75-year actuarial forecast. I don't know how many of your listeners operate on a 75-year forecast. I know I don't, but Social Security does. So every, say, 20, 30 years, Congress makes adjustments in order to keep it on track for the foreseeable 75 years. That's what they did in 1982, and they built up intentionally a surplus reserve. And so last year, or the year before I served as Social Security Commissioner, because I have that one committed to memory because I signed the audit report, Social Security, people working in the American economy, this is what I mean by pay-as-you-go, people working in the American economy paid in from their paychecks $1.3 trillion. Social Security paid out to beneficiaries in pay status $1.4 trillion. So where did the additional $100 billion come from? That came from the intentionally built up surplus reserve that they anticipated they would need in the program to cover us baby boomers and our retirement lifetime. But what they didn't anticipate were so many changes after 1982 that exacerbated income inequality and took more of the earned dollars in the economy out of that bracket to which Social Security applies, which is only the first, I say only, which is the first 170,000 of our earned income, which means as a practical matter, somebody working in Racine or Milwaukee at a McDonald's pays in all year, whereas Elon Musk stops paying in about 2 seconds after the ball drops in Times Square on New Year's.
Governor and former Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley with us. Commissioner, I made special note on my program after the first of the year to list all of the billionaires who had within seconds stopped paying Social Security tax.
Oh, good for you. That's a good one.
Yeah, because there's so many of them. And I often like to remind our listeners that between 1981 and 2021, $50 trillion of wealth has, of course, left the 90% of us, the bottom 90 us regular people. And it's gone from us to the top 1%. And that this, when we look at Social Security funding and these actuarial tables, yeah, there's a pinch point coming, but there are solutions to this that would not have dire consequences for regular people. What are some of those solutions, Commissioner O'Malley?
Yeah, you know, one of the things we've been reading for years is that Social Security is going bankrupt. But what those articles that get a lot of clickbait and a lot of people reading them, they say by 2035. What they're talking about is actually, Maggie, that surplus reserve that has, you know, that as you know, has not lasted as long as they thought it would in 1982, because so many dollars were pushed out of the bracket to which Social Security applies. But even that cliff in 2035, that if Congress doesn't act, by some reading of the statute, it says that we will all suffer a 17% reduction in benefits. Now, that's not going to be good for somebody for whom Social Security is the only difference between living with dignity or living under a bridge. But if you had a family-owned business and your accountant told you you were going to have a 17% shortfall in 2035, you wouldn't plaster out of business going bankrupt in 2035 across your business. You'd make adjustments. And one of the adjustments that we could make on Social Security, and only Congress can do this, is to ask people who are making more than $500,000 to start paying in again. There's no windfall for the highest earning people in America when it comes to Medicare. Why do we stop paying into Social Security, and why is it that, you know, Elon Musk stops paying 2 seconds after midnight? So President Biden himself had indicated that he would support people paying back in after they make up to $400,000. So that's one of the fixes that can be applied, and there are others as well. John Larson, a Democratic member from Connecticut, every year introduces a bill to actually strengthen and expand Social Security by requiring higher earning people in our economy to pay in again. It's about our society. It's about the security of individuals, but it's also about the security, economic security of all of the men, women, and children of the United States of America, as FDR said.
73 million of them. Two things I want to emphasize that the former commissioner just said, folks. One is Social Security will not go bankrupt. That is a lie. It's a damn lie. It is designed to scare you, to try to justify draconian benefit cuts that simply are not necessary. Now, there would be benefit cuts, as the commissioner pointed out. But again, Social Security will remain solvent. Social Security cannot also, it is not legal for Social Security to acquire debt. So again, I think there's just so much misinformation out there.
That's right.
Governor and Commissioner,
yeah, right.
Please go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that one of the misunderstandings, and this is true even in among some in the halls of Congress, they talk about Social Security like a big deficit buster, like it adds to the deficit. Social Security doesn't add to the deficit. It's the only agency that runs right now a surplus of $2.6 trillion. The Department of Defense does not do that. Social Security actually lends money to the federal government. They could, if Congress wanted to, they could restore all of the, you know, reductions in staffing that Americans are feeling the pain of. They could do that, take it entirely out of the trust fund, and that wouldn't add a dime to the deficit, nor would it advance the depletion date by anything more than 30 days. So solvable problems, long-term and short-term.
And short-term. Scrap the cap. Social Security is not going bankrupt, and it doesn't borrow money. It actually lends money to the federal government. We continue with former Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley, former Maryland governor, right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Protect your family's financial future and keep listening. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined this half hour by former Social Security Commissioner and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. We're dispelling some of the damn lies that get told about Social Security by those that, frankly, are seeking to fund the largest tax cuts for billionaires, trillions in tax cuts for billionaires and 100 millionaires on the backs of working class people by cutting essential benefits like Social Security, SNAP, Medicare, and Medicaid. Of course, Social Security is an earned benefit that you have earned and paid into throughout your career and your working life. Social Security helps support more than 73 million Americans. Thanks so much for spending some more time with us, Governor. I really appreciate it. Listen, we've been talking about the fact that Social Security is incredibly inefficient with overhead at 1.2%. I challenge anyone listening, Trump voters included, to find any other insurance provider or benefit provider that runs an overhead at 1.2%. They won't be able to find one. We have debunked the mythology that Social Security will go broke. It will not. We have debunked that Social Security somehow adds to our nation's deficit. It does not. It is a walled-off trust that, in fact, actually helps our federal government because the Social Security, the fund, the extra fund, the surplus dollars are used to purchase U.S. treasuries. I would like to now debunk the myth that has been now propagated by Elon Musk and Donald Trump, our billionaire overlords, that people that are here illegally, that are non-citizens, are collecting Social Security benefits. Can you address that, Governor?
Yeah, absolutely not true. In fact, illegal immigrants, so-called, people working in the United States outside of legal status, are prohibited from receiving any benefits from Social Security, nor can they even earn the benefit from the work they do. But, Maggie, they do contribute $25 billion a year for the rest of us that they'll never see a penny of. So that is a big lie. They often conflate that lie by saying, oh my gosh, look at this horrible thing. These non-citizens came to the country and they were mailed Social Security numbers. Yeah, no kidding, Sherlock. That's because that's required under the law, and the electronic and more efficient way of doing that was established actually under Donald Trump in 2017. So, and Elon Musk, when he came here on a student visa, which I do believe he overstayed, he was mailed a Social Security number so he could pay in since he was here in legal status. So that's a total lie, as is the zombie apocalypse. There are not millions of dead people roaming around Milwaukee and Racine with Social Security checks spewing out of their cadaverous pockets. Doesn't happen. Not true. Year after year, before they fired the inspector general, the audit showed that, yes, there were probably in a 73 million person program, roughly 800 people who were sent checks a month or more after they had deceased. But that, in most cases, was not a matter of somebody committing fraud by hiding granny's body, although sadly, occasionally that happened. But it's just not true. There aren't 30 million people, like a population the size of Texas, receiving Social Security benefits. Absolutely false.
Thanks so much, Governor. So to recap, it doesn't add to the deficit. It's not going to go bust. It is not a Ponzi scheme. It can't take out debt. It is illegal to pay benefits to people who are here illegally, although those non-citizens contribute $25 billion with a B, billion dollars in their payroll taxes to the system. And no, we're not paying millions and millions and millions of dead people Social Security benefits. Any other big fat lies, Governor, that we need to debunk here? I think we're doing a pretty gosh darn good job of it.
I think we have. This is the most intelligent interview I've ever done on Social Security. So congratulations. You get the Cupid doll. A lot of people ask me at town hall, so what's the ultimate objective here? I don't know what the ultimate objective is here. Some people have even said, oh, you're scaring people by telling them that they're driving the agency into a system collapse and an interruption for a time of benefits. But that's what they are doing. And you can see that every action they take in terms of what they say about Social Security is intended to wreck public trust in the agency. Everything they're doing operationally, cutting the IT department in half, in driving 7,000, ultimately they're going to get to 10,000 in another month, driving 10,000 people out of the agency. It's the biggest exodus of customer service staffing the agency's ever suffered in its history. It's all about them wrecking its reputation, wrecking its ability to serve the customer, so that having wrecked its reputation and having wrecked its customer service, then they can get away for robbing it. Whether they're robbing it for that $2.6 trillion in the trust fund and what they want to do with it, I think they are going to have to precipitate a presidentially declared emergency in order to get their hands on that trust fund. They'll say it's in order to get checks cranking out again, but whether it's for their sovereign wealth fund he's talking about, or whether it's to invest in the market or in the Bitcoin, I don't know. I do know, though, and have a responsibility.
I think we just lost the commissioner there. What I'm going to say this is, their aim is to destroy your trust in the system, a system that has worked for 90 years. Don't believe the lies. The only people betraying you are Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and the billionaire class. Thanks so much to former Social Security Commissioner, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. My sincere pleasure. We'll be back with more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A big thank you to former Maryland Governor and former Social Security Secretary Martin O'Malley. It has been a big day, which means I am so very happy to be joined by my colleague Terry Barr for a little bit of what's good local and overlooked in Wisconsin. We need to go off into the weekend despite all that is going on a positive note. And I'll just say this. We will, of course, return to what is happening in the political and legal news. There's going to be plenty of time to discuss in the coming days, weeks, and months. But one of the great acts of resistance, Terry, is to find joy, to find some happiness, and to rest and recuperate. And so I'm very thankful every Friday to have some joy with you and to share it with all of our great listeners. So with that, Terry, what you got for us this Friday?
Oh, let me lead that happiness resistance. Happy to do it with you, Maggie. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, another big piece of the news is really sports news this week. And, you know, everybody knows the NFL draft is in Green Bay. I have friends and relatives who are volunteering. Many are attending as well. And one of my cousins joked, I am here with more than 200,000 of my closest football friends. Yeah. But what we sometimes forget is all of the things happening around this big football crown in Green Bay. There are events, there is local food, there is local markets, just a chance for Green Bay and Wisconsin to show off a little bit. Well, here may be something that really went under the radar. We found out about this for our Max Inc. radio show. There is this little band in Appleton that goes by the name of Doozy.
Like doozy. As in that's a doozy of a band. Am I getting
Isn't
this right?
It great?
It is great.
So Doozy decides when they hear the NFL draft is going to be not just in Wisconsin, but in Northeast Wisconsin, they start the ball rolling. What do we do to write a song? What do we do to get to play at the draft? how do we put this all together? And they started working first with the Packers, then with the NFL. This little Appleton band is going to blow up because tonight, the song they wrote for the NFL draft, they're playing the entire thing for the first time on stage live for who knows how many people.
Oh, that is so good. Good for Doozy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. I snuck a sample. Well, I should say they snuck a sample to me. So we have a little bit of the song. Would you like to hear it?
Heck yes. Exclusive preview of the band Doozy, who will be performing live for the NFL draft tonight. Heck yes. Let's make some music news today.
Mountaintop, stand my flag in the frozen tundra. I ain't ever gonna stop. Fast as lightning and I'm strong as thunder. Doesn't matter what they say, I'm gonna do it anyway. It doesn't matter if it's storm, I'm gonna march to the beat of my own drum. I'm gonna be the last one standing. I'm gonna be the last one standing.
That is great. I'm going to be the last one standing, but probably a personal motto, maybe a motto for the times, if you will, Terry. I love it.
I was thinking that as I'm listening, because they wrote it as the idea of being able to overcome obstacles, of course, like a football player and like all these college kids just waiting for their name to be called. But hearing your show today, I related the song back to everything that you were talking about as well.
Oh, yes. It's amazing sometimes the intersections between pop culture and politics and all that is going on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for sharing that. And again, good for you, the band named Doozy. I love it.
And again, based in Appleton, playing the entire song live tonight for the first time at the NFL draft in Green Bay. And then they have a couple of shows tomorrow all around Green Bay. So they'll be really jamming it out tomorrow if you happen to be in the city and want to check it out.
Yeah, I've definitely got some friends that headed up to Green Bay, brought their umbrellas, brought their umbrellas for the draft. So maybe, maybe I'll drop them a little text, remind them, hey, you got to check out this band Doozy. They're around.
Yeah, have them go look. Oh my gosh. Well, and Maggie, I don't know if you knew all week, the crew in Green Bay, and I've been working with them, WGBW and WISS, we have been digging hard to really try to find things that are flying under the radar. So kind of like Doozy, we also found out that on Sunday, and I find this amazing that it's Sunday, because technically the draft ends on Saturday night. A lot of people, I'm sure, will be leaving the area, having to head home, get back to work, all that good stuff. But there's actually a flag football game in the works right now. It's happening on Sunday at noon in the 2000 block of Holmgren Way. There's a field there where they will be playing. And you're probably thinking, ah, whoop-de-doo, right? Wait till I tell you some of the names. Ready?
Please.
Okay. Fan favorites, because they're there for the draft. They agreed to stay and be part of this flag football team for the fans. We're talking people like Amon Green.
Oh, my goodness.
One of my favorites, Dorsey Levens. Remember Dorsey?
Yes, I do. Wow. My brain is now like, oh, yes, the old rosters.
I know. Clay Matthews, incredible. And
hi,
those
Clay,
are
still
some.
Single. Hello. Hello. Just, I joke.
Oh, I guess you're going there on Sunday then.
Yes. Maybe a small change of plans.
Yeah. Here's the even better part. There's some kid flag football teams in Green Bay. Most of them are nonprofits, so they're supported by the community. A lot of these kids otherwise wouldn't get a chance to play. Well, the football players said, heck yeah, we're going to come in. We're going to play this game. Let's raise a little money so more kids can play flag football. Isn't that amazing?
I love it. Would it surprise you, Terry, that I have a funny flag football story?
Oh, no, it doesn't. How do I always know this? And we don't even talk about what we're going to talk about.
We do not prepare. Terry prepares. I just get to sit and wait to hear what she's talking about. I have no idea from week to week. So here's my funny flag football story.
Oh, good. I love this.
When anytime I move to a new place, I'll join all their rec leagues, the baseball, softball, whatever you get, golf, flag football. So I joined a flag football league when I was living in Chicago with a bunch of my friends from Marquette. Had a very, what I would call like good but laid back team. You know what I'm saying? Like we're there to have fun, have a little fellowship afterwards, maybe quaff a couple adult bevvies. This was not, let's show up and have this intense flag football thing. I was working a ton at the time, so it was a nice little release, something to look forward to. Yeah. We were in the harder division within the flag.
No.
Right, of course, within the, because we were good. We would win a lot of games, bunch of ex-athletes, has-been athletes. There was one team who was completely obnoxious, and everybody that plays in rec leagues knows who I'm talking about. Like, there's always one team that takes themselves and the games far, far, far too seriously. And there was a particular guy that played on this team who's basically a big, fat jerk. And it was a co-ed league, obviously. And part of the rules involved that in every four downs, at least one receiver had to be a woman, right? Because if you're playing co-ed, you get, let's involve the ladies.
Please.
Yes. Now, I got the ball more than once every four downs. I had receiver gloves. I was a big, tall target. This was fun for me. But the other team with this jerk of a guy would rarely, if ever, run these plays, and eventually we'd have to complain. And this guy in this one game, he was, of course, the quarterback, the big, fat jerk, was lambasting every time he would throw to this one woman. I guess only one female showed up. She'd drop or wouldn't catch it, whatever, and he would literally berate this woman. So this is a long story, and I apologize, but this was towards the end of the game. Oh, yeah, towards the end of the game, and I had just about had it. They had me line up to rush right on the line of scrimmage. So you got to count off the rush. And me and this other guy rushed, and I did not intend to do this. I swear on a stack of Bibles, I did not intend to do this. The guy's rushing, and he was more concerned about him than he was me. And I eventually ended up being able to grab his flag, which is the equivalent of a sack, of course, right? I had so much animosity built up in my belly for this guy that by the time, you know, we're cutting around and I'm trying to get him, and by the time I got so close to him, my old rugby training had kicked in, and I did not grab this man's flag. I absolutely leveled him.
Oh, my God.
And got very abruptly kicked out of said used-to-be flag football game, and got a stern talking to from the organizers of the league that, like, if this happens again, we're going to kick you out of the whole league and not let you return. Because this guy, it took him a little while to get up, Terry. I'm just saying, like, this is part of, I've always had the same motto. I do not like jerks and bullies. If you're a jerk and a bully around me, like, yep, you'll get marked. And that always applied on a playing field, just as it does in real life, courtrooms, and in politics. That is not an avenue you want to go down. Of course, everyone on my team, and I would say there were a few people on the guy's own team that seemed pretty amused by the outcome there. Like, just desserts for that big jerk. It's no fun, even if you're playing in the most competitive of the divisions in a rec league, when somebody has to ruin it by taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
Like, if you're that good, what are you doing in a rec league?
Right.
Chill out.
Well, It had to feel a little gratifying, even though you knew you shouldn't do it and you got, you know, thrown out, but it still had to feel kind of good.
Of course it did. I honestly did not intend to tackle this guy. It was legitimately muscle memory, full combat memory from when I played, and just your muscle memory. Body took over. Brain was not functioning. It was just
And then you're like, what just happened?
That's my target, and I'm getting it, gosh darn it. And he sure did get it. Let's see here. Brian from Green Bay wondering if I got to the guy who I took out, if I got his phone number afterwards. No, Brian, I did not.
Brian. Oh, my goodness.
He wasn't really my type. I'll just jerks. Not really my type. My thing.
That's a funny question, though.
Yes, it is. Brian, we love you. Thanks so much. And thanks to you, Terry. I appreciate you. Have a good weekend. Enjoy
you too,
the draft fun up in the Appleton Green Bay area. Folks, we'll be right back with some final thoughts on what has been, by any account, an eventful week in politics and the news. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. We are in our last bit of the Maggie Dawn Show here in our noon drive time slot on this, I don't know, kind of dreary Friday afternoon. I hope you all have a great weekend planned for you. Just wanted to share some more breaking news. Protests have been breaking out all afternoon across Milwaukee at the federal courthouse, at the county courthouse, at the Milwaukee Police Department, all in response to the federal government, Cash Money, Patel, and Pam. Maybe I'll follow the Constitution if Donald Trump tells me it's okay. AG Bondi's arrest of Milwaukee Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan. There have been very specific statements made by a number of elected officials. Wanted to share with you a bit of what Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said earlier today. And here's what I want to point out. I didn't get a lot of time to talk about the manner of Judge Dugan's arrest. Cal, I think the it's the second of the Crowley clips where he addresses the manner of Judge Dugan's request. Yes, this is cut 17. Let's take a listen.
Bottom line, we are talking about a sitting judge who deserves the same level of due process just like anyone else in our country. And it is our understanding that she was arrested by a large performative showing of law enforcement officials on the courthouse grounds today, and that is not right.
His word choice here, I think, is important. A large performative showing by law enforcement. He was asked a follow-up question about this, and why did he call it a performative showing? I think this is cut 20. He gets into it a bit. Cal, if you can play that.
Right, and so when I think about how this could have been handled, one, we're talking about a sitting judge who uphold the laws and interpret our laws. But for her, for example, to come to the courthouse and be arrested, why didn't this happen at her home? There are a lot of questions that we have as well, and we're looking to get some answers.
So from the media accounts that I've been able to obtain, I don't believe there, at least we haven't seen any yet, video footage of her arrest. But what I understand from the county executive, from other accounts, is that there were a large number, more than five law enforcement officials. They waited for her to arrive for work. They arrested her at the courthouse. These are the courtesies or the incourtesy that they chose to proceed under here. Let's compare that to how federal officials arrested and charged Donald Trump under federal law, how Georgia officials charged Donald Trump under Georgia state law. None of that occurred. None of that occurred with the other officials charged under Georgia law for the January 6th insurrection. Just didn't happen. What occurs is they contact the individual, or if they're known to have an attorney, the attorney, they ask them to surrender, to show up. They aren't handcuffed. They are simply read their rights and they enter processing. So let's be clear about the manner of her arrest, the performative nature, according to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. It was the performative nature. That tells you what's going on here. This isn't about whether or not Judge Dugan actually committed any crime, which, again, my belief, my argument to you is she absolutely did not, for the reasons I discussed at length in the first hour of the show. What this is about is sending performative messages to judges. It's so bad. Donald Trump calling for the impeachment of judges all the time, posting just today about radical left-wing judges. All of this is what the problem is and what it is about. They're threatening Republican-appointed judges, calling, again, Judge Harvey Wilkinson, a revered, extremely conservative judge who just last week called on all of us, wrote an opinion with a clarion call saying, this is undermining our most basic values. The Trump administration is undermining our most basic values as Americans. This is what is going on. And Donald Trump and the language that is used to attack sitting judges, federal and state judges, this action against Judge Dugan for controlling her courtroom, as she has every right to do as a state court judge, for observing the principles and precepts of the Fourth Amendment, which ICE warrants do not, for following the 10th Amendment's prohibition of the federal government to seize control of state and local governmental apparatuses for the purposes of executing federal laws. She was doing all of that. And yet, you're going to send, I don't know, a squadron of law enforcement to arrest a judge in or at the courthouse in which she does her job? Come on now. Even if you think Judge Dugan is criminally liable for what she may have done, you have to admit of the fact that the manner of her arrest speaks to the intent of the government, of the federal government, which conservatives used to decry for its wild overreach. Conservatives used to decry and lambast the federal government for intruding on local control and states' rights. These things tell you what's really going on. It is to scare and intimidate us into silence. Here's Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Like any individual in this country, Judge Dugan is entitled to due process. We should let the facts come to light and the legal process play out. I agree. In this country, process is democracy. So let's pay attention to what's really going on. I'll be back with all of you next week to continue to dig in. Please take care of yourselves. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But remember, it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.